Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Young man, 35 riders.
That's why I hustle. Will I ever stop? No, I'm a go.
Yeah,
I ain't going to get some more. Can't be broke.
That's why I hustle.
I ain't never had shit. Came from nothing. Just busting out. Signing on the button like a flesh. Why?
Yo, 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 what's good? Welcome to The Cut on G14 Radio. It's your girl Onyx checking in with you every Wednesday night, 5 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. And as always, we got the co-host Golden Fleece and Tyrone. What's good, homie?
What's good?
Yo, yo, what's going on, everybody? Everybody good? Life is G-Force. All the audience out there, what's popping?
Is Tyrone still there?
Yeah, I'm here. What's happening? What's happening in the world? What's happening in my people?
Alrighty. Well, all is well. I know I can't complain. I just, you know, real quick on today's show, this Friday, actually 15 years ago, we lost what I think we all could consider a hip-hop legend, and one of them, if nothing else, Christopher Wallace, a.k.a. the Notorious B.I.G., a.k.a. Biggie Smalls. So since The Cut only airs on Wednesdays, we were going to go ahead and celebrate his legacy within some of our time and play some of his music on tonight's show. So I just think that, you know, we need to go ahead and give it up for Big Smalls. What you guys think?
Yeah, I think it's a good look, you know, and it's definitely playing it on the show. I'm looking forward to hearing it. It's a breath of fresh air, even though it's old, and, you know, I would love to hear something new for a change.
Yeah, you already know, man. Biggie did it way big. You know, his name wasn't just B.I.G. Biggie did it huge when he was here, when he was alive. You know, rest in peace to him. And definitely, Sisters Wednesday, and we're going to be on the show. We got to give it up for B.I.G., one of the nastiest lyricists you'll ever hear back then and now.
Yeah, no doubt. Definitely. And so tonight, we also have international DJ Michael McPherson, who will be on the line with us. He's most known from his debut on Master of the Mix Season 2, a reality television series that aired through BET Network. There was also a DJ competition, and it was hosted by Just Blaze and had a couple of other famous judges. But now he's, like, one of the best in the game, so I'm looking forward to him coming on the line tonight. Definitely excited. Want to hear what he's got coming up. Want to hear about where he's been and where he's going. So what do you think, Tyrone? You think the DJ lane is open right now?
I mean, I really think that, you know, first off, you know, shout out to the DJs, because without the DJs, there are no artists. You know, basically, the DJs, they're the ones that's playing this music in the clubs. And, you know, if you don't have DJs to spin your records, how will people hear them? So, I mean, much love to the DJs.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, you definitely got to get it up for the DJs, man. I mean, we go to clubs, we go to parties, we listen to the radio. All of that is commanded by the DJs, you know what I'm saying? All of this stuff that we basically do through music stems from the DJs. And, you know, now you got these guys that are going worldwide, rocking parties, east to west coast, overseas, making people feel good, radio, club, mixtape, doesn't matter. The DJ definitely got their hand on the pulse of everything music. So looking forward to talking to Michael McPherson tonight. And I always salute the DJ.
Definitely. You guys hear that? You artists that's listening, everybody that's tuned into The Cut tonight, again, thank you for joining us. Make sure that you have a great relationship with these DJs, listening, hear their views and standpoint as they view you guys, you artists, and learn from them. Tonight, real quick, I want to see what we got lined up. Billboard charts. Kelly Clarkson is getting pretty comfortable right there at the top on the Hot 100, still with the Stronger, What Does It Kill You, 4 weeks so far. And in case you're not, you know, familiar with Kelly Clarkson, then you must not know music, because she actually won the first American Idol competition. So I'm glad to see that everybody that wins American Idol is still doing their thing. Adele, Set Fire to the Rain. She's got the radio charts on lock, number one. R&B hip-hop single, Love on Top by Beyonce. You notice how my voice changed real quick because that's one of my favorite singers. So shout out to Queen B. Also R&B hip-hop. R&B hip-hop albums, Careless World by Tyga. Is it Tigger or Tyga? You know I never say it right.
Tyga.
Tyga, okay, I didn't say it right this time. Tyga's got the number one hip-hop album. Who would have thought? That must be that Rack City bringing him up on the billboards there. So what do you guys think about Tyga's been in the news quite a bit. We talked about him heavy last week, so real interesting.
Yeah, you know, I'm glad to see he's charting. You know, I'm glad to see Tyga's charting. I think Tyga has a fan base that if he could really capture it and bring it along with him, he can actually go real far. I heard something about a Martin Luther King snippet that he had on his album actually hurt his sales because they had to take him physically off the shelves because the sample didn't get cleared. They wouldn't clear it to have on his album. So basically all those first week numbers were digital numbers. So he probably would have did over 100,000 if they wouldn't have done that because of that sample that he had on the album.
Yeah, you're right about that. Any thoughts on Tyga,
Tyrone? I like Tyga, and I think aside from what he's doing for crossover appeal, dude can actually spit, you know, and I've heard him on a few mixtapes, and I mean, I like his mixtape work. I haven't heard the album yet, but, you know, I'm pretty sure it's good.
Yeah, his mixtape work definitely impressed me as well back when, even on the, I think it was the We Are Young Money CD, I was feeling a lot of his flow. So, you know, I'm not a die hard, but I really, you know, enjoy him when I do hear him. So, you know, shout out to him for got the number one hip-hop album right now. What do we have on the mixtape lineup tonight?
Yeah, we got, first off, we got Paul Wall with, he just dropped No Sleep to Houston, hosted by DJ Drama. We've been doing Paul Wall Wednesdays every week playing a track by Paul Wall, something that he came up with, and we've been piggybacking on it, you know what I mean? And we've actually played quite a few of the tracks from the mixtape, you know, and the whole mixtape was produced by G Luck and B Don. So we've played a lot of that on here. You know, all of our listeners, if you've been tuning in every week, then you've heard a lot of the mixtape already, but go ahead and download that thing anyway. Next up, we got Chris Brown with Kid at Heart. We have Chingy with Jackpot Back, Yo Gotti with King of Memphis, and Tyler the Creator with Eat Shit, Fuck You.
I just want to say, you know profanity, I try to stay away from it, but I love that title. I'm feeling it. I'm glad you're reading him and not me. I love his title. I'm listening to the mixtape just because of the way that it's called. What's it called again?
Eat Shit, Fuck You.
Right.
Well, let me ask y'all a quick question on this whole Odd Future thing. There's been two videos out for Odd Future. I don't know if you guys seen them. Two weird-ass videos. How do you dudes feel about, how do you dudes and our lovely host Onyx feel about Odd Future for real? Like, when you see Odd Future shit, do you just be like, this is going to be around for a long time, or this is just some shocking shit that's going to pass real soon?
Me, you know, honestly, I have never listened to them to where I couldn't even name a song that from them guys, and that's because, you know, they're a whole lot younger than I am, you know, so of course,
right.
You know, they're nowhere near something that I would listen to. But I have seen the video where he was eating the bugs and, you know, with the white background and things of that nature. But the most of the exposure that I got from Tyler, you know, of Tyler was he did the little skit when his Goblin album came out where he was playing the Thurness. I think his name was Thurness. He was playing an old golf
guy.
Yeah, now I thought that was funny as hell. I mean, I ain't gonna lie, like it was funny as hell, but
no, these cats are hilarious.
But I've never heard their music. I've never they've never interested me to make me wanna go listen to their music. So
That's kinda why I asked y'all that, because every time I hear Tyler the Creator, Odd Future, I hear Shock and Funny. And these two videos, one he's a baby, he's a little baby, and another one he's like, you know, he's half man, half horse with a wig on.
Right.
And you know, never really hit. Have you seen it?
No, I was going to say that I can't remember the name of the song. I saw a particular video where I don't know if it was about a girl, but it had some weird shit in it, and I remember thinking to myself, this song isn't that bad. You know,
I actually like that song. I know which one you're talking about. When
you know
talks to the girl
about?
In her bedroom.
Okay, and is somebody singing on the hook? Is that what happened?
It's actually Frank Ocean.
Okay, yeah, I have heard that song. That song wasn't bad. So I guess we'll find the name of it and let our listeners know. But I thought that song was pretty decent.
I mean, I've heard things here and there, but, again, I haven't even taken the time to really listen to any of what they got going on. But coming out, y'all totally losing me with hooks and singing and girls. And, I mean, I don't know, you know, what y'all are talking about right now. But but I'm going to try to, you know, stay up to speed with it. Like I said, I like the name of the mixtape just because it's, you know, I like it. So it is what it is. I'm going to check them out.
Now, what about real quick before we move on? What about how do y'all feel about Chingy trying to make a comeback?
Well, we knew this was gonna. We talked about this one show, and I don't remember when it was, but I remember us talking about how we knew he was coming out with a new mixtape and that he was working on it. So it's on Dap. It says it's hot, so maybe it is. Who knows?
You know what's funny? He got himself in shape. Like he lifted weights, and I saw something on it where girls were like, "Oh my God, you know, Chingy's back and he's looking better than ever." So, you know, that's gonna give him a shot right there that he's appealing to the ladies. You know, the ladies definitely buy your albums and go to your shows. So.
Yeah, he's always had we've always liked Chingy. When he came out, it was, you know, oh my God, it's Chingy, you know. But, you know, we'll see. I'll be the judge. I'll go and see these pictures since everybody's talking about him. Maybe that'll give him. I'll let you know if I'm feeling his music or if it's just his picture. I like the Paul Wall. Y'all already know. We already talked about how we like Paul Wall. And I love Yo Gotti, so happy to see that he's got something coming out. And Chris Brown, he's, you know, Team Breezy, it is what it is. So that's my thoughts on the mixtape. So do you have anything else you want to add about him?
No, I actually just really wanted to know what people thought about Odd Future. I always get different reactions from everybody. So I just really wanted to know what you guys thought about him. Every time their name comes up, someone has a vast opinion on the other extreme side of each other about what they think about these guys. So I just wanted to know if you guys listened to them and what you thought.
Yeah, I'm not I'm not really a fan, but that's not to say that I won't be. Who knows? But also tonight, we're definitely going to try to wrap up the JD Game of the Week because we're tired of playing, looking for that last winner. So we're going to wrap it up. And Tyrone, can you let them know what the JD Game of the Week is and what they can win if they get the answer tonight?
All right, the JD Game of the Week, we've been playing it, you know, for a while now. Basically, we're asking you a question so deaf related on a weekly basis. Anybody that gets the answer correct, they're entered into a drawing to win 50 pressed up CDs, the CD cover design, the insert designed by myself, You can check out my work at brightwoodentertainment.com. You're going to get the 50 pressed up CDs printed on, burnt, put in the sleeve, the whole nine, so you can get out here and get your promo on.
That's right. Definitely stay tuned for that question. JD gave me the week. And then also in about 2 weeks, Tops, we're going to have a new segment. It's going to be in full effect in Golden. If you could present to them what that's going to be, just a little bit of detail, not too much.
Okay. Definitely. We're going to present a segment called The Beautiful Music. We know there's beautiful models, video vixens, you know, whatever word is cool to, you know, call the girls that graced the video screens that day. But we're going to have them on each Wednesday, one model each Wednesday, so, to go along with our guests. So your favorite video models, we will be getting them on the cut and interviewing them. We know you always see them in pictures. You always see them in editorials. But a lot of people never get to speak to them and hear what they have to say. So we're going to have them on the cut.
Yeah, that's right. So Video Vixens, definitely want to get with us. Tweet us at THAGLUE. Hit him up. Hit me up at ONYX254. And also Tyrone at BrightwoodENT. On Twitter, so we can see if you have what it takes to make that beautiful cut music segment. But see, anything else we need to let them know about that? Make sure you sign up to global14.com. You must be a member if you're going to try to participate in this segment. If you're trying to do anything with the cut, a lot of people hit me up about getting their music played and whatnot. We just wrapped up the Pump It or Dump It. We're actually putting out the mixtape. Myself, Ash, and Ben, JD is picking a DJ to host those mixtapes. JD is in Jermaine Dupri. Global 14 is his social networking site. So, again, make sure you have an account and follow the Twitters at Global 14 and at G14 Radio.
That's right.
So we're going to go ahead and take a quick break, and we're actually going to play a set from DJ Michael McPherson. And again, he's from the BET reality TV series show, Master of the Mix, Season 2. So we're going to go ahead and play this. He'll be on in a couple of minutes. If you have any questions or comments, make sure you call in at 760-913-4119. We definitely want to hear your questions, your comments, anything that you have for him tonight. Let's go ahead and drop this Master of the Mix final set from DJ Michael McPherson.
Y'all know me, still the same OG. Been low key, hated on by most these niggas with no cheese. No deals and no G's, no wheels and no keys. No bustles, no mobility and no skis. Mad at me cause I can finally afford to provide my family with groceries. Got a crib with a studio and a star full of tracks. The ad to the wall full of plaques. Hanging up in the office and back of my house like trophies. But y'all think I'ma let my toes freeze? Please, we gotta bow down on both knees. Who you think taught you smoke free? Who you think brought you to OD? Easy E, Ice Cube, and DOC. The Steel Double G, and the group that said, motherfucker, police. Gave you a tape for the dope beat, the bar who's going through in your hood. And when your album sales wasn't doing too good, who's the doctor they told you to go see? Y'all better listen up closely. Are you y'all better listen up closely? 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 Are you y'all better look up closely? Are you y'all better listen 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 up closely?
I'm sorry. If you are feeling Michael McPherson, please make some noise.
Alrighty, that was DJ Michael McPherson with the final mix set. I can't even talk tonight. With the master of the mix final set that he did on the show. He is on the line, I believe, right, fellas?
That's right.
You guys all there?
Yeah, we here.
Alrighty, I think Michael McPherson is on the line. We're going to bring him live in just a second. Golden, are you there?
I'm here.
Alrighty.
I thought Mike was on the line.
I think he
I'm
is.
Here.
Yeah, he's here.
All right.
What's going on, Mike?
What's happening, guys? Thanks for having me on the show. I appreciate it.
No, thank you for taking the time to come out. Sorry about that. Sometimes our console be tripping. We can't bring everybody live at one time. But, again, thank you. Thank you for coming on. We appreciate you.
Oh, no problem. Thank you.
Yeah, we definitely going to get it in with DJ Michael McPherson tonight. We really appreciate him being on the show. If you follow BET Master of the Mix Season 2, you saw the awesome material and the awesome talents that Michael McPherson displayed on the show, heralded by legends on that show. And we're going to get into it with him. We're going to talk to him tonight, see what he thinks about DJing. He doesn't call it DJing. He calls it mood designing, which I like, and I want to get into that with him. But G14 Lifers, this is DJ Michael McPherson. How you doing tonight, Mike?
I'm doing fantastic, man. How about yourself?
I'm doing good, brother. I'm definitely doing good. And I just wanted to get the audience to know DJ Michael McPherson. So you were actually born in Brooklyn but raised in Orlando, Florida.
That's correct.
All right. So as a lot of us transplants, same with me, came from New York, ended up in Orlando. But when you were in New York, as a kid, you were always doing music. You actually used to be a drummer in a school band. How did DJ Michael McPherson go from drummer to DJ?
I mean, over the years, I've learned that it's somewhat of a natural progression. It all comes from rhythm. They're both rhythm-based instrumentation. I started off with just a love for music and a passion for this. You know, my parents always played really soulful music, you know, around the house when I was a kid. So I'd mess around on my dual cassette deck that I had before I could even, you know, get my hands on turntables. And I was actually making mixes on my tape players. So I guess that was kind of a sign, you know, that I had an itch for this music thing somehow, you know.
Definitely, definitely. Making mix on a cassette deck, that's not an easy thing, brother. That's definitely a skill that you have to acquire. So props to that, man. That's definitely a big time right there. Now, as your transition grew from you just listening to music, you know, some DJs, they say, you know, they used to want to be a rapper, they wanted to be a producer. I do know that you do have the producing touch. Was that first what you wanted to do as far as music was concerned, produce tracks?
Honestly, I would say it would be more in that lane, just because I started off in a band, in a concert band, a symphonic band, those things, which, you know, tie into actually knowing how to play, you know, reading music, learning how to play by ear, playing with along with others, other band members and stuff like that. So I think I was definitely, you know, I have an equal love for both production and DJing. So, you know, they're both passions of mine, you know, at the end of the day. So it's a beautiful thing.
Awesome. Awesome, yeah. Definitely. And, you know, also to let the audience know, you're a college graduate. Is it FAU University, Florida Atlantic?
Yeah, Florida Atlantic University in Boca Raton, Florida, yes.
Awesome. And graduated with a degree in international business. During your music trek through college, what made you, was there something that made you want to go into international business? Is this something that you also had a passion for?
Yeah, I was definitely, I looked at it as something that was more, as a broader scope as far as my options after my academic, you know, span that I could actually reach out and get into other avenues that I'm passionate about, you know, things like film, even fashion, different avenues that I just enjoy delving into creatively. So that was kind of my way of, you know, solidifying that, hey, you know, I can, you know, basically I have all the tools that I need to, you know, to go forward in any of these lanes if I choose to do so.
That's awesome. I think a lot of artists that listen to our show, a lot of producers and DJs definitely need to take note. Always diversify your portfolio. The more you know, the more you grow, the more somebody's going to want to pay you for knowing those different things. So you never know what they're going to want to, you know, dive into your head about. Hey, Michael McPherson knows about international business as well. Basically, it's not a coincidence that you're touring all over the world.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that. I mean, I definitely, you know, was able to get more cultured through my whole college experience, you know, socially and academically. So, you know, as well as with my internships in the music business with, you know, Universal Music Group and so forth, other independent labels, and learning the grind from the bottom up. You know, I was the mailroom guy. I was the, you know, the gopher, you know what I mean? And so I've seen that end of the music business, and I was able to work my way up through that from that level. You know, definitely been a blessing.
Definitely want to tap into that a little bit, because we definitely want to give the audience the experience of an intern in a record label. On Global14.com, we always have debates on, you know, some of the life is always, JD, can I intern for you? And, you know, I think people throw that word around and doesn't know actually what it takes. And it's some hard work when you're dealing with that stuff and you're not getting paid. But we're going to dive into that definitely. But also, during your college years, and you started DJing parties, how did you know you had the it factor to make the crowd move, to make the party rock? Was, you know, your friends coming up to you and saying, hey, Mike, you killed that party. What made you say, you know what, I can go far and do this, and I can really rock the crowd. I can really make people move.
Well, I mean, I think it really came from, you know, guys that helped me and extended that were kind enough to extend their hand and say, hey, look, you know, somebody gave me a shot. Let me give this kid a shot. So I have to give it up to my good friend DJ Scoobs down in South Florida, who gave me my first shot to really get to play in front of a large audience, which was his crowd at the time. And, you know, I definitely got off stage and did my thing. And that was really a key indicating, you know, point for me to say, like, okay, I can really do this, you know, because before that it was strictly me and my bedroom wall going back and forth, you know, practicing for hours and hours and hours and just, you know, just really honing my craft. So when I finally got that chance to get in front of live people and see the reaction and how the music was making them feel in real time, it did something to me. You know, and that they gave me that fire that I needed and just continued to build on the passion that I had already. So it was a really unique experience, yeah.
You know, that's real awesome, man, because, you know, back in the day I was an MC, and I'll never forget practicing in the mirror with the brush like it was the microphone, you know, looking at your facial expressions when you're saying a different lyric. And then when you hit that stage and you see people staring at you, it's kind of like, oh, shit, I'm here to entertain all these people.
Yeah.
Like, what am I going to do? This shit that I did in my room? You know, well, let's go. Let's get it started. And then when you see people react, it's like, oh, man, I could do this. And then I guess that same fire would come from a DJ. It's like when you see the people bobbing their heads and dancing, you're probably like, I got them.
Yeah, I mean, it really comes from times, you know, when we were back in school and, you know, I'm beating on the lunch table and, you know, my friend's rapping over me doing that and then, you know, drawing a crowd from the lunchroom to our table watching us do that, you know. And then you're thinking, okay, this is just us messing around, but then you just never know what something that small can just develop into over time. We just keep, you know, working on it. you know, it evolves into different things.
Definitely, that's real dope. Now, you mentioned the internship, and that was for Universal Music Group, correct?
Correct, that's
correct. Why don't you walk us through that, how you got the internship, and your day-to-day when you were interning, and your gradual growth in Universal Music Group?
It was an amazing experience. It was really the window that I needed to see through to determine whether or not this music business thing was for me. Because I always had an understanding that it was more than just a talent that was going to get you to have longevity in this business. So that just really helped solidify it more. I mean, I got the internship through college, and you know, I applied just like everybody else. And you know, I was, you know, only two of us were chosen. And thankfully, I was one of the ones that was chosen for that semester. And, it, you know, I started out, of course, you know, doing the whole mailroom thing, opening boxes, sealing boxes, shipping stuff out, you know, grabbing, you know, running errands for some of the folks there. Also going out on the field with some of the, you know, the marketing reps and the account reps, you know, to really see how they interact with on the business side, you know, the retailers, the FYEs, you know, the different record stores going in, you know, I was the one hanging up the, you know, the vignettes in the windows, you know, and the FYEs, you see any like Ja Rule posters or, you know, any of those things in the record store on the ceiling or any of the end caps at the end of the aisles and stuff like that with the decorated artists that you see that promoted the Jay-Z record. You know, so I got an opportunity to work those albums, which was a blessing. You know, like the Black Album from Jay-Z, that was a huge project that I got to work on. Ja Rule's release, Christina Milian, 112's release at the time, Huba Stank. So many, and I got to meet a lot of these artists as well. We got to do lunch with them, you know, had conference lunches, and they performed in the offices. So I got to see all those aspects of it as well. I got to see the hard work, that the toiling that goes into, you know, cultivating the marketing plans and stuff like that to work these records that at the end of the day, all the consumer sees is, you know, the posters, the lights, the shows. They don't see all the groundwork that goes on behind the scenes, you know, with, you know, all the street teams and getting together the strategies and stuff like that. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of sleepless nights, you know, getting up early, going to bed super late, in the club, you know, DJing at the end, you know. So it's just on and on. I also had to deliver records to DJs, you know, stuff like that. So it was just, it's a lot to do. But it was, I would never change it. It was a great experience for me. It helped mold me to who I am, you know, today.
No, I definitely understand exactly what you're talking about. I actually was watching SportsCenter yesterday, and one of the commentators was speaking about college basketball and how it's no surprise that the guys that stay for 4 years come out and they're, like, ready to play in the NBA statistically more than a guy that would come out of high school and have to sit on the bench for like 2 years learning the system and learning, you know, how to do their thing.
Yeah.
It's pretty much the same thing. When you see the groundwork and you're just not involved in the fluff, I call it the fluff. It's like the cameras, the lights, the sales, you know, you're all giddy about that. You don't see the people putting the vignettes in the window, on the ladders, damn near falling off, trying to get those things
exactly
up on the walls. You know, I've experienced all of that. And then, you know, hey, you can't sleep. We're going out to the club tonight. I need you to do this. And, you know, I used to see around Rockefeller time, I'll never forget, this guy had a remote-controlled car in the middle of the street with, like, Rockefeller sign just bumping into everybody's feet and then passing you a flyer. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, well,
that's
creative.
Dope.
You know what I'm saying? So it was some times where I understand exactly what you're saying, and I want the audience to really picture what you're talking about, because it's the same grind that you have to put, whether you're an independent DJ, independent artist. You're going to have to go out there and do that groundwork for yourself before you can see the lights, camera, action, you know. So
absolutely,
definitely glad that you mentioned that stuff, man. That's very important stuff. But now we're going to go into you as a super DJ. I've actually had a chance to be at tons of DJ Michael McPherson parties. You know, we used to call him M Squared. That's his former name.
Yeah.
He always was a super talented cat, blending, mixing, creatively. How do you go about your creative process? I watched the video, and there's a famous park around where we live where a lot of people go to walk and exercise. You actually go out there to clear your mind and think of mixes.
Yeah, that's and thank you for the kind words, man. I really appreciate it. It's definitely just, you know, I go out there, and it's a way to kind of clear my head. It's a space I go and just kind of like, you know, think of all the weird things that I can do musically, you know, I may hear. And it's not even just there. A lot of the stuff that I come up with just comes from, like, life experience. Like, I tell people, like, I spin or I play from my experiences. Like, literally, there's certain blends and stuff that I do that, you know, I may be at the weirdest places, you know, the grocery store or wherever, and I'll hear the song in the intercom at the store, and then I'm like, oh, that could go with this, or, you know, this little, like, quirky things, and then I'll find a unique way to work the record differently, or, you know, I get inspiration from so many different places. It's crazy. I'm just thankful to be able to have the ability to draw from that and be able to turn it into something that can please the people and make everybody happy, because that's what I aim to do every time I perform. You know, like you said, I call it mood designing. I feel like, you know, it's about delivering something positive to my audience every time I'm in front of them and giving them that escape they're looking for.
No, definitely, man. I've been in the building. I've seen the sweat dripping. I've seen, you know, smiling faces. I've seen the,
yeah.
Oh, my God, did he just throw that on? I'll never forget one instance when I was in a party with you and I had to walk up to the DJ booth and give you dap when you played the Jay-Z original sample for Rock Boys, and then you blended it in to the real Jay-Z song, Rock Boys. I remember everybody's face in there like, where did he get that shit from? And I just remember like, this kid is cold, man. This kid is cold. So
man,
much
you,
props to you on that. And I wanted to get into blending and mixing. Blending and mixing. How do you feel about that transition of a DJ really knowing how to blend and mix a song? Because I can't tell you, I can't stand a cutoff DJ that just cuts to another song and it's like, oh, bro, what was that? You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
Do you take that very seriously when you're mixing and DJing?
Yeah, I mean, I think that is absolutely essential. When you're looking to make that impact, you know, the people pay their money, your hard-earned money, to come in and buy a ticket to come and see you play or hear you perform. And, you know, I feel like it's my responsibility as a performer, not just a DJ, but as a creative artist, to go up there and not only give the people what they want, but to also let them into my personality as well. And in showing that, I think that in order to do that, you have to have, you know, have developed that skill over time, or else you won't be able to communicate that effectively, you know, to your audience. So I think it all just comes down to putting that time in and working it. But the blending, scratching, all of those are really, really key elements in delivering the best experience for your fans or for your audience that you're playing in front of, you know.
It's so good to hear you say it, man, because I think, you know, some people get up there and it's just like play a song somebody likes and you're a DJ. And it's like, no, you got to definitely, there's an art to it, man. It's the
yeah.
way they make you feel. And that's, we're going to glide right into the BET experience, man. Master the Mix Season 2, DJ Scratch, Legendary Scratch, the winner of Season 1. What made DJ Michael McPherson say, you know what, I'm going to try to get into this, and I'm going to try to win it all? What made you want to do it?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, what made you want to get into the Master of the Mix Season 2? What made you say, you know what, I'm going to jump into this competition and let the world know who I am?
Honestly, I was a fan from Season 1. As you said, my man DJ Scratch, you know, went in there and just completely, you know, did his thing and dominated the season and took the title for the first season. So I followed the first season, so I was aware of the show. I had just finished, I just came off the win for winning the Red Bull National United States Championship. So I was kind of like mentally, you know, not there as far as like any kind of DJ competition. So at the time it was my friend that had to encourage me to go forward and at least audition for the show.
Right.
You know, I had no clue it was going to, of course, you know, turn it to where it's at now, but I have to, you know, give credit to my guys, Marlon Holloway and LaShawn Curb, that really were the catalyst, and they were putting that fire in me, saying, hey, man, you got to go audition. You have to at least just see what they say, you know what I mean? And I was like, okay, you know, so I took the trip down there to Miami and did the audition, and thankfully it panned out
awesome.
The way it did.
Awesome. So Michael McPherson comes from Red Bull National Champion, now Master of the Mix Season 2. Out of all the DJs that tried out, he's in. Now you're in. Now I'm watching the show. I'm seeing all the challenges that you have to go through.
Yeah.
You didn't slip on one challenge. There may have been a hiccup on, like, one challenge where I heard Kid Capri and Vic tell you just one little thing, but you pretty much glided through that whole show. How did you feel up there doing those challenges? Was there ever a point where you got nervous and said, ooh, like, I remember the house one in Chicago. I was like, I know he got the house one because I've heard it before. But was there anything else that you may have said, ooh, this challenge may be a sticky one?
To be honest, every challenge was a blind challenge, if you will. We really didn't know what we were getting into until basically minutes before getting into it. It was, you know, there's no, behind the scenes, there's no practice. We were not able to touch turntables until the challenge. So then you have your 2 minutes or your 5 minutes that you have to prove yourself in each challenge. So, you know, we're going up there completely cold. You know what I mean? As far as, you know, no hand training, nothing. And then, of course, they throw in the curveballs of what the actual rules are for the challenge. So it was interesting, man. I mean, and then they threw an element of being on teams in it as well. So that was a whole other dynamic to work with. That was very interesting.
So
the
people,
you know, of course, there were a lot of nerves and stuff. Yeah, it was. But once you get like a, you know. For me, once I got off that first or second record in my set, all the nerves were gone, and it was just straight adrenaline from there, you know. Because when you're up there, yeah, you have the crowd in front of you, but then you remember you see these huge cameras swinging around on these jibs, and you're like, oh, yeah, there's millions of people behind that lens right there. I forgot. You know? So then when that hits you, it's a whole other feeling that I couldn't even describe to you when that hits you. It's like, whoa.
I couldn't imagine with you. Yeah, wow. You know, I've been on video sets with the jib swinging, but this is something that is actually a TV show that you're knowing everybody's going to be looking at you. Wow, I can't imagine that. And if you guys haven't seen DJ Michael McPherson, he doesn't dress like your normal DJ. Michael McPherson will be up there in a suit, tie, sport jacket, slacks, and some dope sneakers and rocking the crowd. Do you dress like that for a reason when you're DJing, Mike? Is that something that you say, you know what, this is how I'm feeling? You're always dapper for people that don't know, but when you go in that DJ booth, you're still dapper even in suits. Like, what makes you want to be up there presenting yourself in a suit?
I just feel like it's important, like I said, to let your personality shine through. The entire performance is not just in the music, but to sum up in your stage presence as well. I'm definitely influenced by a lot of different time periods as far as fashion goes. So I like to borrow from those elements and incorporate that in my own way and flip it to where I can actually, you know, kind of emulate the music I'm playing by the way I'm dressed, in the way where like the music and the styling is kind of like, you know, they're integrated, you know, but the music always comes first. But for me, I think the style is very important. It's, you know, aesthetically pleasing. It's I feel good when I'm rocking a suit or you know, tie, that kind of thing. So it's all about, you know, that, like I said, that final delivery to the audience when they see the total package. It's not just the music. It's an entire package that you have to consider.
Definitely. And I know for a fact that the brother's always clean when he's up there doing his thing, and the talent always shines through. Now, that you're dealing with contestants. When I was watching the show, there was one guy that I wish got kicked off in the second week. Was there anybody that bothered you? It probably was that same guy that bothered me. But how were the contestants on the show having to battle each other every week, ride on that bus? How was that for you? How was that experience?
Man, everybody on that show was they're all special in their own way, man. Like, I mean, I had no really quirks with anybody on the show. As far as on living on the bus, that was definitely a different experience for me. I mean, they had us, you know, all on a tour bus, you know, there for, you know, for weeks and weeks on end, you know, throughout taping the show and stuff. So that was something new to me, to have to kind of like, you know, coexist with these guys that I've never really even met before. Having, you know, we're eating each other's food and we're, you know, getting up in our pajamas, and it's like, I don't even know, you know, it was so crazy, you know. And but then we're having to compete that same day, you know. So then we're, because like with me, I was cool with everybody. So it was like the competitive energy kind of stayed in a challenge. And once the challenge was over, it's like, you know, we were all cool. We all had a mutual respect for each other, you know, for what we all did. We understood that to make it down to the final 11 contestants out of the thousands that auditioned around the country was a big feat in itself. So we knew everybody was a winner at the end of the day, you know.
That's awesome. And I agree with that totally. From the thousand of people that tried out and the 11 that make it, you knew you're around some special people. I remember the girl and one guy, they got into it a little bit. And that guy, I can't remember his name, but he ended up getting kicked off and they got into it. But other than that, everybody seemed to get along. But
I was able to learn a lot from each person, so it worked out great. Right. Everybody had their individual traits and stuff that I could pull from and that I could, you know, adapt to. It was cool.
Awesome. Well, I definitely want to get into a hot topic that was kind of like a subplot of the show, the Serato versus the Vinyl. Now, DJ P, if I have it correct, he was notorious for saying, hey, I don't deal with Serato, like it was a bad thing. How do you feel about the Serato versus Vinyl debate? You know, a lot of old school heads, a lot of legends say, you know, I'm a vinyl dude, I'm sticking with the crates. But new school cats are like, hey, Serato is like having crates, you just don't have to carry them physically, you know? How do you feel about that whole debate?
Well, I started on vinyl, so I have all respect for any vinyl purists, all admiration, you know, because it takes a lot of work to keep up in the vinyl game. You know, I do miss, you know, some of those key moments of when it was just vinyl, you know, having to wait for a particular record, you know, waiting at the record label, you know, to get serviced with the, you know, the 12-inch pressings first, you know, so you're the first DJ to have them in the club, you know, on the record pools. And
right,
there's a whole other, like, there's like a lost culture, like a lost art, unfortunately, with the evolution of the digital world now that vinyl used to deliver. So there's a lot of, you know, nostalgic things that, that are there that are not there anymore, unfortunately. And I still buy vinyl. I'm still always digging, you know, especially on the production. And I, when it comes to like sampling and stuff like that, I'm always digging records, and I have tons of vinyl. Serato's great. I'm glad I made the switch. I made the switch back in, I don't know, 2005, I think, and I was able to, you know, eventually wean off the vinyl. And as I saw how powerful Serato was, I mean, I think at the end of the day, it's to each his own. It's about the performance. It's about the total package. I mean, whether it's Ableton, whether it's Scratch Live, whether it's Traktor, whether it's, you know, it doesn't matter. It could be, you know, like Kid Capri said, it could be a kazoo. Like, it's all about
right.
what you do when you're up there and making the people, you know, happy and giving them that experience, you know, that they've come to hear and see.
That's real dope. That's real dope. So, yeah. You know, all you DJs out there, aspiring DJs, vinyl, Serato, the point is just be good at what you do. Whether you're at vinyl, whether you're on vinyl, whether you're on Serato, just be good. You know, put your best foot forward and focus on rocking the crowd. Now, there was a huge debate, man. I remember Twitter, Team McPherson. McPherson's going to take it. And then when we get down to the finale, DJ Pete wins the Master of the Mix Season 2, which we would like to say congratulations
Absolutely.
To DJ Pete. He was definitely special on the vinyls. But T. McPherson was pretty, like, stunned. I know I was sitting there like, wait a minute. How did you feel when it came down to that? I know you don't have any ill will toward the guy at all, but how did you feel knowing that you had went weeks throughout putting your best foot forward, actually killing it, and You're at least you got to the finals. You're a finalist. That's a win in itself. But how did it feel when you know, you didn't win at all?
You know, obviously being human, I mean, it was disappointing. You know, at the initial sting of it, it's like okay. But you know, I give a lot of props to Pete. I mean, he did, you know, what a lot of folks can't do on vinyl, you know, in this world of Serato.
Right.
So, you know, I give P a lot of credit, man. He's a great guy too. Also, Yanni's an amazing DJ. Like,
yes.
You know, all three of us are great friends, man, and we continue to support each other's efforts and stuff going forward. I think it was for me, the competitions aspect of it. I felt like I delivered the impact that I needed to deliver. So the result was kind of like, hey. Whoever wins, you know, we all have mad love for each other. At the end of the day, I know I put my 1,000% into that final set and into the season. So I know that the millions of folks that were watching at home, they saw, you know, what I could do. They saw my capabilities and beyond. My personality, everything shined through
right.
throughout the season, especially in the finale episode. So I felt great, man. Like, you know, that's where I took solace. And it's like, you know, I definitely delivered the impact I need to deliver, you know, for the entire season.
Well, for the outsiders
so
looking in,
win.
Brother, for the outsiders looking in, I just want to let you know that you definitely did. Your personality shined
Thank
through,
you.
Your talent shined through, and you're a winner anyway. Right now, world-renowned DJ. I just want to list some of the clients. I mean, we have Tommy Hilfiger, Guest by Marciano, Crown Royal, Monster Cable, Dwight Howard, Idris Elba, Club Live in Miami. They all call DJ Michael McPherson for his services. So that's a hell of a client list, bro, and more that I haven't mentioned, but just wanted to give you a few. So that's real awesome, man. Oh, no problem. And also, you toured in Dubai with Kelly Rowland as her official DJ?
Yes. We toured last year. In support of her album, Here I Am, and I was able to go overseas to Dubai and do a great show over there, man. And Kelly is a superstar. You know, a lot of folks, you know, because of the whole Destiny's Child, her Destiny's Child legacy, You know, it's you know, it's when she does a lot of her solo material, like a lot of folks kind of are like, all right, let me see what, you know, let me see what she's going to do. Let me see what, you know, what this sounds like or whatnot. And then she goes on stage and delivers an amazing performance, an amazing set. And I'm just blessed to, you know, have been part of that experience, you know what I mean, to actually share the stage with her and for her to actually trust in my abilities and trust my judgment and basically directing the music, you know, throughout her shows, you know, for that stint that we were on, you know, on tour for. So it was definitely an amazing experience, man. And once again, like, Kelly's an amazing superstar, and she's a great person too. Great personality, very humble, very down to earth. Like, you know, and she works hard. So
awesome. That's really awesome. Shout out to Kelly Rowland out there doing
Absolutely.
Her thing, looking beautiful as ever. And shout out for taking DJ Michael McPherson to Dubai on tour. That's huge, man. Congratulations for that. You've
Thanks.
Also DJed alongside our very own boss, Jermaine Dupri. You
yes.
both the Crown
yes.
Royal DJs. Didn't you perform with JD recently?
Yeah, we did a party together a couple months ago. He came here in Orlando, and then we rocked out, man. It was a fun night, and he did his thing too, man. He had the crowd jumping, and it was great to see him, you know, on the ones and twos, you know, and also coming from that producer, you know, his production legacy, like, it's, and seeing him actually play these records and know what to play and know exactly, you know, how to drop it, when to drop it, is I learned a lot from him, you know.
That's awesome. Yeah, I was actually in a party all-star weekend with Jermaine DJ, man, and that had been the first time that I've experienced being in the building. And Jermaine Dupri definitely is an awesome DJ. So shout out to JD for doing this thing all-star weekend. Definitely an awesome DJ. So Michael McPherson going forward, after season 2, Master of the Mix, what's next for DJ Michael McPherson? We know there's the name change. We have the Ultimate Mood Designer. I'm pretty sure things are getting hectic after the show has ended.
Yeah, it's been a ride, man, a heck of a ride. And just been touring. I'm actually I have a couple of shows coming up next week. I'll be in Vegas performing at LAX Nightclub at the Luxor Hotel. And then immediately after that, I come back and I go off to Tour France for the next week after that.
Awesome.
So it's just been, you know, and I'm also working on an EP of original music that I'm producing and having featured artists, showcasing featured artists on that I'll be releasing shortly. So, you know, as well as doing tracks for various artists as well. So just
awesome.
Keeping busy, man, and not stopping the momentum, man, just building on it.
That's what's up, man. We really like to hear it. I want to definitely, again, man, thank you for coming on the show. Thank you for giving
oh,
us
thank you for having
insight
me.
Into DJ Michael McPherson. I want everybody that's listening to know, if you have any questions for Michael McPherson right now, give us a call. You're more than happy to speak and take your questions or comments. The number is 760-913-4119. And also, while we're seeing if we do have any calls or anything, Mike, why don't you give them your information where they can get your podcast, your Twitter, and things of that nature. Basically, how can they follow DJ Michael McPherson?
You can follow me on Twitter. It's at Team McPherson, T-E-A-M, then McPherson, M-C-P-H-E-R-S-O-N. My official site is IamMichaelMcPherson.com. So that's I-M, then M-I-C-H-A-E-L, and M-C-P-H-E-R-S-O-N.com. And also I'm on iTunes. You can grab a lot of my podcast mixes. It's called the Mood Design Lab. Go to iTunes Store and search my name, Michael McPherson, and you'll see that there. I have tons and tons of exclusive mixes that I've done over the last year or so that are posted up and archived in iTunes that you can download for free and share it and spread it to all your friends, let everybody know, you know, about the movement. And also, you can catch me on YouTube as well as YouTube. I am Michael McPherson, and that's pretty much. You know, I'm also on Facebook as well. Facebook.com/IamMichaelMcPherson as well. So, you know, those are pretty much.
Pretty much,
you can
there's
find
everywhere. Michael McPherson is everywhere. There's no excuse not to follow this guy. He's on every social network. He's in the U.S., in Europe. So, you know, basically, Michael McPherson, if you don't follow him, he's going to find you somewhere because he's going to be in your city somewhere doing his thing. So I want to bring my host and co-host on, Onyx254 and Brightwood Entertainment, a.k.a. Tyrone. And I wanted to see if they have any questions for you as well. They're fans as well, so we want to throw it over to them and have them ask you some questions as well. Onyx?
Yes, I don't have any questions, actually, because, I mean, it was a great interview. I learned a lot about you. I'm glad you had a chance to come on the show. And I can't help but to say that I got excited when you said that you DJed for Idris Elba, like I'm, you know, crazy about him. So,
Okay, yeah.
Next time he calls you, let him know. You know, we're crazy about him. But hey, I'm being honest. But back to you though. I think it's really cool that you have this personality. And like Golden said, and everyone said, it shines through, and even through the phone conversation, and your style and. That's the first thing I noticed about you when I saw the pictures. I went back and did a little bit of the show review with your style. So that, you know, it does give you a presence and a professionalism about you that I haven't seen. I'm in the DJ booth, so I thought that was pretty dope. So I just wanted to commend you on your accomplishments thus far and everything that you've been doing. And we look forward to seeing what you have coming up in the future. And we want you to come back
Thank
on the show.
You.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I certainly will. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you.
No problem.
Yeah, and I, it's Tyrone here. I just wanted to commend you on blending. You know, I'm up here in Indianapolis, and a lot of our DJs up here specialize in blending. So, definitely shout out to you for that, most definitely.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Okay, guys, did we have any callers on the line that wanted to speak to Mike? Or
I was just about to say we have some people listening in, but no one with any questions or any comments right now. So P. McPherson just probably tuning in and, you know, supporting, and also some up-and-coming DJs taking notes. So thank you for dropping the knowledge tonight for them.
Oh, no worries. I appreciate you guys having me on the show, man. It's a great opportunity.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Wonderful work ethic. Love it.
Yeah, definitely. Mike, again, thank you for dropping by and speaking with us here on The Cut. And let all your friends know we're here every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern. You know, we'll have their favorite artists and DJs on. Whenever you want to drop by, the door is open, my brother. And much continued success to you, man. You know you'll be seeing my face in the building if I can get there, man. Much continued success.
Indeed.
Congratulations on
And likewise. Likewise to you guys as well. Continued success on the show and all of your efforts going forward to all of you. Much success.
Thank you very much, brother.
Thank
you.
We appreciate that. Thank you.
You got it. Okay. Thank you.
So that was DJ Michael McPherson, guys.
Yes. I really like this dude. I like his style. I like everything. I like his personality. I appreciate the fact that he was an intern and talked about the behind-the-scenes work that he did. It is a lot of work. It is a lot of grind time, and I just, you know, that was dope. I'm glad that he shed some light onto some people who think that this business is just an easy one, that you can just hop into it, even with winning that competition, him still putting in that work and doing what he does. So, that's my overall thoughts on him. I really like this guy. Cool dude.
Yeah, and once again, I just wanted to, like I said, shout out that blending, because like I said, up here in Indianapolis, you know, especially, you know, a lot all over the U.S., you know, blending seems to be a lost art, and a lot of DJs can't do it, and they're really it really takes skill to be able to take an instrumental or even take two beats and blend them together and make them sound good. So, you know,
right.
Like I say, Indianapolis has a real big history, a real long history in blending tracks together and making whole mixtapes out of them. So, you know, hats off to him for that.
Yeah, and you know what?
Yeah, you got to be special for that. You got to be special. You got to have a special ear for that.
Yeah, you do. And I was going to say, you know, real quick, you know, I'm not a DJ, but I do have an ear for music, and I feel like I could be if I knew how to do the little scratching and whatnot. But I noticed that. If the blend is not on point, if it's not on point, I'm going to notice, especially I don't drink, so I'm in the club. If it's whack, it's going to be whack, and I'm going to say something. And it's, you know, and I hate to say it, but I'm not easily impressed these days. So, you know, exactly what Tyrone said, a lot of them aren't doing you know, what they need to do on a turntable. Let's just put it that way. So,
I think they kind of lose it. They lose the, I think, it, you know, sometimes when something gets saturated, people lose the actual focus.
Yeah.
And
oh, yeah.
It's just like I'm on a paid gig and I'm up here.
Yeah.
But it's like,
yeah.
That's why I like the way he calls himself a mood designer. He
yeah.
goes in there and designs how the people should be feeling, which means he's taking his time to make sure he does everything right. And the blending is huge. I call them cutoff DJs. I can't stand a broken cutoff to another
yeah.
song just because it's a hot song.
Yeah,
blend
I can't do it. Yeah. Straight up. So if you're one of those black DJs we talking about, yeah, we talking about you. So what? Call in. You got something to say. You got a reason for that whackness you bring into the club or the scene. 760-913-4119. Y'all know I'm
word
not afraid.
Call up. I have DJ Michael McPherson call back in and tell you how to blend that thing. That's the phrase of the day. Blend that thing. Get it right.
That's right. Well, what I want to do real quick is go ahead and drop a biggie joint because we talked about, again, we're not going to be here Friday. The cut won't actually, another show will be on Friday night, so we want to go ahead and pay our respects to the late and great Notorious B.I.G. So I'm going to drop one of my favorite songs, and I'm feeling like this right now with Michael McPherson just coming on, and then our show, Sky is the Limit.
Baby, look at me. Mama love you. And I know you ain't no little boy no more, but you'll always be my baby. Seems like only yesterday I was holding you in my arms. Now look at you now, big man. But I worry about you. I worry about you all the time. Hanging out on the corner all times of night with the cool people. Baby, that ain't nothing but trouble. I always thought you that you could have whatever you dream of. Well, I want you to hold on to that dream, baby. Hold on to it real tight. Because the sky's the limit.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. How's everybody doing tonight?
All right.
I'd like to welcome
all
to the
right.
stage
all
the lyrically
right.
acclaimed.
Woo!
I like this young man because when he came out with the phrase, he went from ashy to classic.
All right.
I like that.
All right.
So everybody in the house, give a warm round of applause for the Notorious B.I.G. The Notorious B.I.G., ladies and gentlemen. Give it up for him, y'all. A nigga never been as broke as me. I like that. When I was young, I had to pay a lease. Besides that, the pinstripes in the gray. The one I wore on Mondays and Wednesdays. My niggas flirt, I'm throwing tigers on my shirt. And alligators, you wanna see the inside? I see you later, here come the drama. Oh, that's that nigga with the fake. Wow, why you punch me in my face? Stay in your place, play your position. Here come my intuition. Go in this nigga pocket, rob him while his friends watch it. That whole clock, here comes respect. This crew's your crew, or they might be next. Look at their man eyes, big man, they never try. So we roll with them, stole with them, I mean loyalty. Niggas bought me milks at lunch, the milks with chocolate, the cookies, butter crunch. And yeah, I touch the blue and white stuff, that's blunt.
Just keep on trying.
that was soft. Even when I was wrong, I got my point across. They depicted me the boss. Of course, my orange box color makes the world go round. Plus, I'm fucking bitches ain't my homegirls now. Start stacking, dabbles in crack, gun packing. Nicknamed Medina, Mosasina, soap my Nina. From gym class to in glass, passed off for global. The only nigga with a mobile. Can't you see like total? Getting larger and wasted taste. Ain't no telling where this telling is heading. Just in case, keep a shell at the tip of your melon. Clear the space. Your brain was a terrible thing to waste. 88 on gate, snatch initial nameplate. Smoking Smiths with niggas. Real life, beginner killers. Praying God forgive us for being sinners. Come with that. Enterprise, and I ain't have to be in school by 10. I then began to encounter with my counterparts on how to burn the block apart. Break it down into sections, drugs by these selections. Some use pipes, others use injections. Syringe sold separately, fright the deputy. Took the damn my Smith & Wesson like my dick was missing. To protect my position, my corner, my layer. While we out here, say the hustler's prayer. If the game shakes me or breaks me, I hope it makes me a better man. Take a better scene, put money in my mom's hands. Get my daughter this college plan, so she don't need no man. Stay far from timid, only make moves when your heart's in it. And live to pray, sky's the limit. Motherfuckers, team Trump's on top.
Guys, I don't have a blender, no deep turntables behind me. Don't judge. Yeah, that's my jam right there, Notorious B.I.G. Scraggles in it. That's one of my favorite songs just because of what he's talking about and the message that it's bringing. So straight up to the topic, fellas, B.I.G., Notorious B.I.G., the legacy, the man, one of the best, one of the greatest rappers of all time, hands down. Fellas, where were you when you first heard of the B.I.G., Notorious?
Oh, man, Notorious B.I.G. The first time I got wind of Notorious was on a Supercat, Puff Daddy, Notorious Big, and there was another cat that rapped with Bad Boy back at that time, and this was on this song called Dolly My Baby. And it's the first time I seen him. Had the big leather shirt that say Big on it with the bandana around the head. And, you know, I had the hearing in New York. Oh, man, they about to introduce this cat. He's crazy. He's nuts. Yo, you got to hear this dude. And then Juicy dropped. And when Juicy dropped, it was all over. I think it was all she wrote when Juicy dropped. When they actually got to see the dude, see him in fresh clothes, Puff Daddy, and I want to say this real quick. Puff Daddy, don't ever discount what Puff Daddy does, because Puff Daddy had a lot to do with why everybody loves Biggie Smalls.
Yeah.
He could have came across a certain way to a lot of people. Street thug that was nice on his lyrical game, but Puff putting that contrast with him as the fly big man, and he was still spitting those rhymes like that, made everybody like, yo, this is that guy.
Yeah, I totally agree.
I actually came across him, you know, back in the day. My mom's was actually, you know, a real big music connoisseur, you know what I'm saying? And she used to actually buy CDs, like, in bulk, to even to where when I got older, you know, early teenager, when I started, you know, having particular artists that I like, you know,
every payday, you know, we would go to the CD store, and she would buy herself 5 CDs, and she would buy me 5. So, you know, both of us have real big CD collections now. When she, a lot of music that she used to buy, you know, when Big came out, I probably was maybe anywhere between 10 and 13, maybe. And she got the CD, and I used to listen to everything that she would buy, you know, especially if it was rap, you know, to see who was new. You know, she would buy a lot of stuff even because it was on the Billboard charts. You know how they, when you go and get your CDs, they got like top 10. She would buy them according to that too. So, you know, whatever was hot at the time, she would pick it up. So I got a whole lot of music from her. So that's the first time when I started hearing about Big was with the actual CD, the actual album.
Your mom's put you on the Big. Now that's dope.
My dad was huge. We were all huge music fans in the crib. I was about 9 years old when I got put on to Big. Gosh, I feel so old now that I said that. I was about 9 years old, and I was like, dang, this dude, you know, I was jamming. And at the time, I think Escape was out. I think The Brat was out. And it was a time when music was really, like, you know, jumping and jamming at the time. And then also, what else came out? I'm trying to think about, where was I? Oh, no, my dad was a huge Scarface fan, so... I, too, got kind of put on through my parents as well, just with the CDs and with them, you know, my mom being a huge music fan as well and a singer herself. So it was a lot of music in the house, a lot of rap music. That's how I heard about Biggie. But I knew then, and even growing up, like, I think one of my favorite songs in middle school, like 7th grade, was Mo' Money, Mo' Problems. What did I know about that?
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? But it was I know, right? And I was 12 years old, but I think it was just the way, like you said, P. Diddy presented him. And, of course, we all know Big Papa. Like I said, I was about 10 years old when that dropped. And we used to call my little brother. My little brother's nickname is Biggie because he used to be chubby. He was, like, 2 years old, and he was chubby. So we started calling him Biggie and Big Smalls. So that was his nickname. Now,
right,
his real name
right.
is Brandon. Yeah, and to this day, we still call him that, Biggie. Big Smalls, and that was his nickname because he was chubby and, you know, cute, just like, you know, how we viewed Notorious B.I.G. back then. So it's just funny how he's made an impact on each household, and it still continues
in
to this day.
Ways.
Yeah, in different ways. And again, like, my brother's like
it's
20 years old, and we still call him Big Smalls. You know, it's crazy.
It was. I remember. They used to have this thing out in Florida called Black College Reunion. I don't know if anybody ever got to go to it from out of town, but all the black colleges, kids would come from everywhere, and they would go to Daytona Beach, and it's just like a huge crowd, and nothing but cars and kids in the street, everybody just having a big party. And, you know, I had already had Ready to Die, fell in love with Ready to Die, All of the music on Ready to Die. I loved it. Loved the production, Easy Mo B, him and Method Man collaboration. Like, everything was so dope. But when that second album came out, that double disc CD, I'll never forget. That's where we were. And some dude had a pimped out Cadillac with the trunk open. And it said, the same old pimp, his name, whoever that dude's name was, you know ain't nothing changed but my limp. And I didn't hear the song before I saw that. And then he turned on More Money, More Problems. And there was like 100 people around his car because it was all in the parking lot where everybody's drinking and partying. And I'll never forget the party that happened right there in that parking lot when he played that song. I heard that song and I was like, what is this?
Yeah.
And, you know, I must have jammed that so hard for years afterwards. But that one experience of that dude opening his trunk and doors and making the whole parking lot, it was a Burger King parking lot, everybody dancing and partying to that song. I'll never forget that.
What are some of y'all favorite Notorious B.I.G. songs? Like I said, I know mine's More Money, More Problems, Sky's the Limit, Big Papa. I actually like Everyday Struggle.
Everyday Struggle is my joint.
Yeah, I'm doing that. Juicy, of course, Juicy and One More Chance, which they've kind of, people have, ever since the Big movie came out, you know, they play that in the club. Like, that's just dropped like yesterday, you know. They play the One More Chance. They do. And I, sometimes I get a little annoyed, but then I'm like, nah, it's Big, you know. So,
I'm gonna go with Notorious Thugs. Like I said, Big, you know, number one Bone fan, and that actual track, like when I first heard it, for Biggie to do what he did on the track, you know, that was like the ultimate collab to me at the time, and still to this day, I love the record. You know, like a whole lot. I still can listen to it like it was brand new.
Now, that's an awesome record. That Biggie killed that. And Bone was lighting it up at that time. And Biggie came in and murdered that track. It's like, and it's so many. When you think back, when you think on B.I.G., Brooklyn's Finest with him and Jay-Z, I love the dough. Who was that singing on the hook on I Love the Dough?
I don't know.
I'm not sure.
The Google. You know what else I was going to say? And I hate to take it here, but, you know, the Ten Crack Commandments, that was like, that's like every dope boy's. I think that was like the cold right there. That's like the, it really was the Ten Crack Commandments.
Oh, that's it. It was the commandments for the
street
hustle
really
and that beat.
It really is.
And that beat.
Yeah. Yeah.
That beat was so hard. That
beat,
oh my God, it went perfect with the joint.
Biggie was that dude. He really was, and you know, one thing that I look back on is how the fact that, you know, and I want to get into the kind of whole East Coast West Coast thing too as well, just because, well, not too much. We're celebrating Big tonight, but I loved his humbleness about him. Everything I've seen him in, all the interviews, all of the performances, anything, he always had a good heart about him. You know what I mean? He always had a good, humble personality, respect factor about him. Even though he's still this street dude, he still was, you know, very humbled and just respectful in everything that I've seen him in. And I just hate that, you know, the way that it had to end.
Not to cut you off. What you're saying about the East Coast, West Coast, and I think all of that stuff too added to Biggie's legacy. You know, when somebody's here for a short time and it seems like they've been here forever.
Mm-hmm.
Like even Pac, when you think these dudes died at like 23, 24 years old.
Isn't it crazy? And now that I'm 20, and you know, I looked at that and I was thinking, oh my God, I'm 26. I couldn't imagine. He accomplished so much. You know what I mean? Like at that intake.
It seemed like they were here forever.
It does. It really does.
I'll never forget. Go ahead, Tyler, my bad.
Well, I was just saying that goes back to what I was saying when we had the conversation about artists and how everything is going these days, because those cats were very young to be putting out the type of material that they was compared to a 23, 24-year-old today.
Yeah.
Like the content of what they're talking about, you know, from back then until now. Like,
oh,
we were.
God.
Yeah, it's just, you know, the kids and you know, for Pac to pass away at 25 and to put out the type of, you know, world-changing type, you know, music that he was doing, you know, he's still very young.
Yes, extremely.
Isn't that crazy?
So right. It is. It's crazy. And, you know, you're so right, because we jam these songs and we relate to them now as grown adults, and we related to them then as kids. We found a way that it was relatable, but it didn't make us want to go out and do it. You know what I mean? So, you know, I think it's dope. I mean, they're one of the two of the greatest, literally rappers of all time.
And it spans beyond rap. I think a personality in a person.
Yeah.
Because when you think about it, you think they went through a lot of stuff. Like in the news, in front of people, And it was like big-time stuff at a young age, exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, it kind of hit me. I was at All-Star Weekend at the Diddy Party, and you know the guy D-Rock from the movie that takes the jail time for Biggie,
right.
and you know, lets him go to jail. He was there. And I said, D-Rock. And he came up to me and gave me a daps and, you know, like a little pound embrace. What's up, family? Puff has still got him in position.
Yeah.
Like, yo, he wouldn't have been, this wouldn't have never happened if you wouldn't have did that, laid down them years for him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's kind of
yeah.
like, you look at all that stuff and you're like, I'm an outsider looking in, but man, this was some real shit these brothers
were
doing.
It was.
Big is not here. D-Rock's still rolling around with Puff.
Yeah.
It is kind of like, wow, you know, these cats' lives were some real storybook shit, man. And
it was.
Every time I listen to these songs, and I remember Pac shooting at cops, and
yeah.
the when he got shot, when he thought they set him up in New York, I was so
right.
close to that. It was unbelievable. It was like, oh, shit, they hit him up in the studio over there at so-and-so. Oh, man,
mm-hmm.
and I remember New York going crazy, like, oh, they think that nigga think Biggie did it, they wild, because Pac is from New York.
Yeah.
A lot of people mess with Pac in New York.
Yeah. I was going to ask you about that, being that you're from New York, if you had got any, you know, I just was going to ask you, any stories, any things that you could share with us first?
Man, it divided a lot of people, because mm-hmm. Boot Camp Click, I don't know if you know Buckshot Shorty, Helter Skelter,
yeah.
all them cats, they was Pac's people. Like,
yeah.
they was Pac's homeboy. So none of them, if you notice, none of Boot Camp never did nothing with Big. Because
mm-hmm.
Pac was they mans. Also, Naughty by Nature. Like,
mm-hmm.
half the Bloods in New Jersey are there because of niggas coming from L.A. with Pac on a tour bus hanging in the streets of New Jersey
mm-hmm.
with Naughty by Nature. You know what I'm saying? So, when
mm-hmm.
that shit happened in New York, it was kind of like, oh, damn. Puff and them tried to set the homie up, and then you got so many people riding with Bad Boy, but you still had a section of New York that was like, they was against the shiny suit shit. Wu-Tang
yeah.
wasn't feeling that in the beginning. Before Method
yeah,
Man did that song with Biggie, you know, niggas
I
was like, I don't rock with that shit. You know what I'm saying? So there was a lot of cats that was still on that. Yo, we don't respect that. You know what I'm saying? And Pac made it extra because Pac was like some character. The nigga survived the shot, stuck his middle finger up at the camera, went to jail for a rape, got out of jail harder than ever, and it was just like, that's my nigga type shit. Even though Biggie spit a lot of that stuff on his rhymes and he was so great at it, his life to the real cats on the street was just kind of like, he ain't like that, except for Brooklyn. You can't go to Brooklyn to say that, because it's like, nah, Big is our savior over here. And Big was real, but it just divided certain factions in New York. I'll never forget people talking about that left and right. Like, yo, these niggas don't even do songs with him because of that shit. And it was like, you would have loved to hear Buckshot, more of a Boot Camp collaboration. I don't know if they end up doing anything, but, you know, you would have loved to hear those dudes all get together at one time and just did it. Thank God Method Man and Big did one. And I just remember it being a crazy time. It was more than music. It was a dude that his life got attempted on. He didn't die. And it was a different climate. That East Coast West stuff was blown up by the media, but it started
yeah,
from something
definitely.
Very real.
It yeah, definitely it did. And again, it was blown up and taken to, I think, another degree that nobody expected it to. And unfortunately, again, resulting in, I have to say, losing, again, two of the best lyricists and poets, if you will, because they definitely, you know, were beasts, I mean, on the lyric. And like you said, Tyrone, it is crazy to compare today's music with that. It's just like you can't. It ain't even on the same platform. I don't know if anybody's still touching, I mean, like I said, I can play their songs, and they get weekly play. Like, this ain't something that I just come up on once a year. I actually play these dudes weekly as if they're still alive and well and as if they dropped yesterday. What do you guys think about the B.I.G. movie that came out? I think it was well put together, the casting. What do you guys think?
I thought they did a great job.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was a great
matter of fact, I thought that Gravy, what ain't that his name?
Yeah, I think
Gravy,
something like
yeah.
that. Great, yeah.
I think you know him alone. You know, like I was really impressed by the way he did that. By the way he put that together, he did a great job on that.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, Gravy definitely did his thing. And I'm sorry, I get passionate when I talk about that Biggie Tupac era because it was so real to, like, people, especially if you wanted to rap and be a rapper. You know what I'm saying?
Was.
It was just kind of like, whoa. Like, when Pac died, it was devastating to me when Pac died. I was in North Carolina with Capone and Noriega. I'll never forget that day. And they had problems with Pac. Because of the Snoop Dogg and Dog Pound song, L.A., L.A.
Right.
And then they came back with the, they had New York, New York. And then Tragedy, Noriega, and Prodigy came back with the L.A., L.A. So Pac was talking about them cats, too. Like, y'all niggas, too. Nas, Capone, Noriega, Mobb Deep, F y'all. And I'll never forget, we got it on the radio. We were riding from the mall. And they said that Pac had passed in the hospital, and I was with Tragedy Gaddafi. I don't know if y'all know who Tragedy is, but he was on all the Capone and Noriega stuff. He used to be called the Intelligent Hoodlum. But Tragedy, I remember him stopping the show because they had a show that night, and we were all there. We were on stage, and he stopped it. And he was like, I know that y'all may think that New York and don't fuck with Pac. But let me tell you one thing right now. That little beef thing we had, I knew Pac before that. And I got to pay homage right now because that's one of the realest dudes that you're going to ever, if you never had a chance to meet, that's one of the realest cats you'd ever meet. And I remember saying, damn, how's this going to affect Big? You know what I'm saying? Like, I just remember thinking that, like, Biggie, Biggie, Biggie. And short time later, he dies the same way.
Yeah, it was.
And it was just kind of like, whoa, that shit was just eerie to me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it was a mess. I remember, and I remember crying and all of that. And, you know, I was 11 years old when they both passed. So, I definitely wasn't feeling it, was not happy about it, confused, so many questions, disappointed, let down, so many little emotions. And I remember going to my brothers and being like, what happened? And, you know, are you sure? Are they sure? And they're like, yeah, you know, this is it, you know. And it was, again, it was,
Biggie's
it was
gone. Wow.
It was devastating. And when Pac left, it was horrible. And then when Big, I just was like, oh, man. That's when I really was not feeling it at all. And it was just, it was horrible. And they, you know, but the tribute songs, P. Diddy, you know, the Will Always Love Big Papa, I'll Be Missing You. I mean, those songs are still sung for everybody now at weddings funerals and homegoings. You know, people, I think they call it the homecomings.
Right.
Yeah, people sing these songs for their family. So, again, the music and everything that they brought to the table, the lyrics and the production and the way that P. Diddy put all that together and the tributes, I mean, it wasn't a dry eye when those songs were performed.
Timeless.
Yeah, it is, exactly. That's the word for it, classic, timeless. And like the songs say, we're always going to love Big Papa. And the movie definitely, I think, did a great job at picking out, you know, the key points and celebrating his life and giving us some insight as to exactly how he got into it for those who didn't know. And for those who just, you know, even my parents, they liked it, you know. So,
I think the movie was well put together.
It really was. I have to, the whole staff, Notori from 3LW, she did her thing. you know, Lil Kim. She did a little more than what I'd like to have seen, but
yeah.
I'm sure the fellas had no complaints.
Oh, man, I screamed in the movie theater.
<He's silly.
laughs> I yelled out in that thing, boy, when that first sex scene,
oh,
I was like, oh,
boy.
Shit.
Yeah, they just kind of spunk it up on you. I don't like stuff like that. I need to know and be warned. I mean, that was just the most. And me and my girl was like, oh, Lord. And, of course, all the guys were cheering and doing the most. So, but I definitely
that
went to see it open the weekend. Yeah, I knew you guys would love it. That's what you know. Hey, you're
You know
men.
What was funny about that? I just thought she looked so young. And I was like, wow, she looks like she's 12. That was probably maybe one of the things that I said, ooh, the casting on Lil' Kim, she looks like a kid.
Well, she, you know, but the kid is
what,
my
weren't,
age.
Weren't they?
She's,
yeah,
she's
but, I mean, but if you think about it.
They were young,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, according, like, you know, historically speaking, you know, when they first met, they had to been teenagers, you know. I mean,
yeah.
Big past so what?
Fresh.
Big,
right. Yeah, definitely young, fresh, late teens, early 20s, something like that. But I want to go ahead and he had a big, you know, he played a big role in other people's careers as well. And after you look at Little C's and how they had him, and you look at him now, you're like, oh my God, Little C's, you know. But let's play, let's go ahead. Let's play a big track because I want to try to get some more of his music in. Of course, everybody's familiar with him, but we still want to go ahead and again, celebrate him. I know they played Juicy on the other show. We're going to play that a little later. But I want to play something that I think we all can appreciate, and it's the Everyday Struggle joint that I was talking about.
Yes.
Yeah, we're going to go ahead and just play that for everybody who's not familiar with this song. This is B.I.D., Everyday Struggle.
I'm living every day like a hustle. Another drug to juggle. Another day, another struggle. I don't wanna live no more. Sometimes I hear death knocking at my front door. I'm living every day like a hustle. Another drug to juggle. Another day, another struggle. I know how it feels to wake up fucked up. Pocket broke as hell, another rock to sell. People look at you like you's the user, selling drugs to all the losers, mad Buddha abuser. But they don't know about the stress-filled game. Baby on the way, mad bills to pay. That's why you drink Tangerine, so you can reminisce and wish you wasn't living so devilish. Shit, I remember I was just like you, smoking blunts with my crew, flipping over 62s. Cause GED wasn't B.I.G. I got D.A.I.D. That's why my mom hate me. She was forced to kick me out, no doubt. Then I figured out it went for 20 down south. Packed up my tools for my raw power moves. Glock 19 for casket flower moves. But Trump's trying to stop my flow. And what they don't know will show on the autopsy. Went to see Poppy to cop me a brick. Asked for the time and he wasn't trying to hear it. Smoking mad Newport cause I'm doing court for an assault that I caught in Bridgeport, New York. Catch me if you can like the gingerbread man. You better have your cat in hand cause man.
But I don't wanna live no more. Sometimes I hear death knocking at my front door. I'm living every day like a hustle. Another drug to juggle. Another day, another struggle. I don't wanna live no more. Sometimes I hear death knocking at my front door. I'm living every day like a hustle. Another drug to juggle. Another day, another struggle.
I had the master plan. I'm in the caravan on my way to Maryland with my man 2-Tech to take over this project. They call him 2-Tech. He told 2-Tech. And when he starts to bust, he likes to act who's next. I got my honey on the Amtrak with the crack in the crack of her ass. 2 pounds of hash in the stash. I wait for honey to make some quick cash. I told her she could be lieutenant, bitch got gas. At last, I'm literally lounging black. Sitting back, counting double digit thousands back. Had to re-up, see what's up with my beat. Put all the dealers on, had it cheap on the Jeep. See who got smoked, what rumors were spread. Last I heard I was dead, was sick to the head. Then I got the phone call, it couldn't hit me harder. We got infiltrated, like you know at the Carter. Heard that got murdered in the town I never heard about. Some bitch in Alberta over nickel-plated burners.
see no black man turn to John Gotti. My daughter used a potty, so she's older now. Educated street life.
Allow me to lace these lyrical douches in your bushes. Who rock grooves and make moves with all the mommies? The back of the club, sipping my wet is where you find me. The back of the club, macking holes, my crew's behind me. Mad question asking, passing, music lasting. But I just can't quit because one of these homies Biggie got to creep with, sleep with, keep the F a secret. Why not? Why blow up my spot? We both got hot, now check it. I got more Max and Craig and in the bed. Believe me, sweetie, I got enough to feed the needy. No need to be greedy. I got mad friends with Benz that see notes by the layers. True to life players. Jump in the Rover and come over. Tell your friends, jump in the GS3. I got the chronic by the tree. Throw your hands in the air if you's a true player. To the honeys, get your money, play your fellas like dummies.
I love it when you call me Big Pop.
You got a gun up in your waist, please don't shoot up the place.
Why?
Cause I see some ladies tonight that should be having my baby.
Straight up, honey, really, I'm asking. Most of these fellas think they be macking, but they be acting. Who they attracting with that line? What's your name? What's your sign? Soon as he might.
Welcome back to G14 Radio The Cut. We just played DSG Everyday Struggle. Definitely one of my favorite joints. I know that Gordon said he was feeling it too. And what I actually did was tell the fellas that I actually want us to do Show Our Love by reciting lyrics for the DSG pop song. This is something that I bet a lot of shows ain't doing. So since we're supposed to be the music show, we got to know our music, right? So I want to play Big Papa, and we're going to see if we can know the lyrics to the song. I wish I could make a competition out of it, but I ain't got nothing for neither one of us to win. So, hey, it is what it is. So, Golden, you said you know all the lyrics to the B.I.G. Papa song. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah, he about to try to show me up.
Hold on. I think his thing got muted. Did you mute him so he can't recite the lyrics?
I didn't hate on him. You know, I wouldn't hate on my boy like that. You know what I'm saying? But I do believe he's trying to show me up, though.
Nah,
we wouldn't even do that.
But it could be a family effort. I'm finna put it out right now. You know what?
This was honest idea, Tyrone. You gotta talk to us about this one.
Hey, you know that's how we do it. It's just impromptu stuff. Go ahead, go and say the rhyme.
Oh yeah, let me get into that demo.
He gonna make you do it a cappella though.
No, I'm not. I'm gonna play it all. Okay. Hold up.
Get into that demo. Yeah. Mafia, the remix. And for my man B.I.G., R.I.P., 9-4.
To all the ladies
in the place with styling grapes, allow me to lay these lyrical dishes in your butches. Who top tools and make moves with all the mommies? The Mac of the club sitting is where you find me. Back of the club, back and hold my crew behind me. Man, question asking, blunt passing, music blasting. And I just can't quit because one of these honeys, Biggie, got to creep with, sleep with, peep the effing secret. Why not? Why blow up my spot if we both got hot? Now check it. I got more Mac and Craig and in the bed. Believe me, sweetie, I got enough to feed the needy. No need to be greedy. I got mad friends with Ben. She knows by the layers. True fucking players. To the crib up in the. I got the chronic by the tree, cuz.
It might be a lot of feedback with it. I don't know if it if it's on time, but you got all the lyrics.
Ever see that?
It was like all the lyrics
were there, but he was a couple seconds behind the song.
Let me hear it. Hit my turn.
I was a couple
I
seconds
behind. Oh no, that ain't it.
Yo, you know what? There's a little lag time, but you got the lyrics all right.
So, be me, sweetie. Oh, that ain't it. Hold up. I'm the same for a few. There's been a few. We gone through what we came to do. Ain't that right, boo, too? That's all I know. Fuck yeah, why you do me? It is. It's like a little all time with it. Tyrone, you gonna give a go for it? You gotta do it for the beat.
Yeah, it's a little lag time, but long in the lyrics. It's a little lag time.
y'all put Notorious Thugs on there, and I go at it, but y'all ain't about to embarrass
me. Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, I just wanted to do something. I just wanted to do something fun for the homie B.I.G. Definitely rest in peace to the legacy, Notorious B.I.G. I guess we're going to have to come with like an instrumental sometime and figure out how we can do that. That was fun. It is fun. I know my rhymes, y'all. It's just the music was kind of throwing me off. So, but let's see real quick if y'all want to get into some news, and then we'll ride out to another Biggie track. We'll probably play Juicy on the way out.
Before Fleece gets into the official news, I just wanted to, last week we talked about Max B, and apparently those rumors that we talked about last week are reported false at the moment. So, Max B still has a chance, according to what the new updated information. What y'all feel about that?
Well, I mean, refresh my memory on what exactly that it was that we were talking about. I'm sorry.
We were talking about Max B. They said that his appeal was denied, and he actually would spend like the next 30 years of his life in prison or something like that. And I know Fleece had mentioned
he was kind of... I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
you talking about that situation. Oh, okay.
Right.
So that wasn't final?
Nah, it was actually a rumor, like Tyrone just said.
Wow.
I guess French Montana had tweeted that it had not been denied, and Max Jesus has officially released a statement that said that his appeal has not been denied. So there is still hope for Max B. Yes. But, you know, the funny thing about the situation, I'm happy that Max B still has a chance.
When it was denied,
I was devastated because that's a long time since I'm hearing that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it was a heartbreaking situation. What you doing, Golden? Are you cooking something?
Okay. That's not me.
Oh, okay. I heard somebody in the background frying chicken. Oh, okay.
Somebody
frying chicken.
Why I gotta be chicken, though?
Hey, we talked about that last week.
I'm glad, man. I'm happy Max B still got a chance. You know what I'm saying? I'm happy Max B got a chance. I'm a big Max B fan. So, you know, you never want to see a dude go down like that. But he still got a chance. He's not done yet.
Hey, well, God is good.
I'm equally devastated this week. You know, about my boy. Rest in peace to the Colts. And
oh my God.
I'm hurt, man.
How you gonna deal with that, Tyrone? Tyrone, seriously, like, I need you to answer this for me. How did you feel when you heard the news, and how are you going to deal with that, bro? The man that built the house is gone.
But see, one of the main things, especially coming from, you know, being an Indianapolis native, and, you know, I'm here still, obviously, the city, we already have, like, this situation where a lot of things don't happen for our city. So to, you know, bring Peyton in and Peyton change things around for football and to bring a Super Bowl here to our city and everything he's generated since he's been a Colt, you know, now that he's gone, what are we left with? You know, I honestly don't believe that the Colts are going to, I mean, man, like, it's devastating for diehard Colts fans and fans who are actually here and really, really hate to see Peyton go, man. Like, I mean, I know y'all felt it just as much as we felt it, as far as y'all may not feel the same way, but y'all can feel the impact that's going to be that he's leaving. It's like we lost last year because he wasn't there, and now that he's getting better, you're still going to let him go. Like, okay, what are we going to do now? Are we going to have 10 more years of ass kickings? Like, what's going to happen?
I am so lost. Is this football right now? I just want to ask real quick.
You know, it had to be spoken about on the show, even though it's not music related, because it's just that devastating.
And that's fine. You guys can have your male power or whatever. I just, if it's football or basketball that we're talking, it's got to be football, because I don't follow football.
It's football.
Okay, I was just making sure that it was at least that I had the sport down right. Okay, y'all can continue.
Yeah, even people outside of Indianapolis, Tyrone, completely devastated, shocked, you know. But I just have to think that they know something more about that injury that the public does not, and that would be the only reason why they wouldn't do everything they could to keep Peyton there.
Yeah, we'll never know. But like I said, that's a big blow to our city as a whole. You know, we have the Vivica Foxes and the a lot of the people, you know, Babyface that came from here, and the Mike Epses and stuff like that. But, you know, it's still, you know, a part of me, you know, really hurts behind that. You know what I'm saying? And it's like I said, we already struggling as it is. We're not a huge city, you know, and Football was the only thing we really had that was going good for us, because, you know, of course, there's no music industry here big enough to really do what we need to do. Although, you know, the labels have been looking for the next person to blow, but it's hard, and I think that just set us back a little bit more.
It's like when LeBron left Cleveland. I mean, you know, some of these sports figures are just that big. They generate they generate and they give the city a presence on the map that they wouldn't have without them. As crazy as that sounds, but like, you know, when LeBron came to Cleveland, he actually generated money for the city.
Jobs, everything.
Yeah. It might sound crazy, but it's real. Same thing with Peyton Manning. It's like Indianapolis, Indiana. You think of the Indy 500 and Peyton Manning, and now you know he's gone. Who knows how long it's going to take them to get back to prominence? But I hope he lands on his feet.
And if you know, they're not going to give Luck a chance, if he loses any of those first few games, it's going to be ugly. It's going to be ugly.
You think they should take Luck or RG3?
Honestly, I would say, you know, not to spend too much time on this, but, you know, I say they should take Peyton, man. End of the day, that's what they should have did. You know, they might have paid him a lot of money, but at the same time, if it worked out, he would have made them all that money back.
you know, what's going to happen to the ticket sales? You know, they were already down last year. Are they going to continue to keep going down? That means you, the team is not going to make any money anyway. So who knows, man? You know, like I said, you know, fingers crossed, and I guess we'll see next year.
Well, there you guys have it. That's the sports segment on the cut, brought to you by co-host Tyrone and Golden Fleece there for you. I just want to give our Twitters out and our information real quick. I was totally lost, you guys, so you have to excuse me. I don't do the football thing too much unless it's Super Bowl. So, again, make sure you sign up to www.global14.com. That is Jermaine Dupri's social networking site. Create your account today. Get familiar. There are shows, groups, blogs, events. Everything is posted on there for you to get involved in, dating groups, all kind of things. And you can find me on there and on Twitter at Onyx254. That is my information, fellas.
Brightwood Entertainment. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, that was you, bro. You got it out, Brightwood Entertainment.
Yep, that's my Global 14 handle, and Twitter is Brightwood ENT.
Yep, and yeah, Global 14 handle is Golden Fleece, and my Twitter handle is THAGLUE.
All right, you guys, so there you have it. The Glue, Brightwood Entertainment, and Onyx 254, your show, The Cut, Wednesday nights. Make sure you tune in with us. Catch us next week, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific Standard. We're going to ride out real quick to Biggie, Juicy. Everybody have a wonderful evening. Thank you for tuning in with us tonight.
Baby.
Yeah. This album is dedicated to all the teachers that told me I never amount to nothing. To all the people that lived above the buildings that I was hustling from that called the police on me when I was just trying to make some money to feed my daughter. And all the niggas in the struggle. You know what I'm saying? It's all good, baby. It was all a dream. I used to read Word Up magazine. Salt and pepper and Heavy D up in the limousine. Hanging pictures on my wall. Every Saturday, rap attack Mr. Magic Molly Mall. I let my tape rock till my tape pop. Smoking weed and bamboo, sipping on private stock. Way back when I had the red and black lumberjack with the hat to match. Remember rapping Duke? Da-ha, you never thought that hip-hop would take it this far. Now I'm in the limelight cause I rhyme tight. Time to get paid, blow up like the World Trade. Born sinner, the opposite of a winner. Remember when I used to eat sardines for dinner? Pizza, Raw G, Brucey B, Kid Capri, Funk Master Flex, Love Bug, Starsky. I'm blowing up like you thought I would. Call a crib, same number, same hood. It's all good. And if you don't know, now you know, nigga. I made the change from a common thief to up close and personal with Robin Leach. And I'm far from cheap. I smoke stuff with my peeps all day. Spread love, it's the Brooklyn way. The Moet and Alizé keep me pissy. Girls used to diss me, now they write letters cause they miss me. I never thought it could happen, this rapping stuff. I was too used to packing gats and stuff. Now honeys play me close like butter play coat. From the Mississippi down to the East Coast. Condos in Queens, in dough for weeks. Sold out seats to hear Biggie Small speak. Living life without fear. Putting 5 carrots in my baby girl ear. Lunches, brunches, interviews by the pool. Considered a fool cause I dropped out of high school. Stereotypes of a black male misunderstood. And it's still all good, And if you don't know, now you know, nigga. When I was dead broke, man, I couldn't picture this. 50-inch screen, money green, leather sofa. Got 2 rides, a limousine with the chauffeur. Phone bill about 2G flat. No need to worry, my accountant handles that. And my whole crew is lounging. Celebrating every day, no more public housing. Thinking back on my one room shack. Now my mom pimped the act with mix on her back. And she loves to show me off, of course. Smiles every time my face is up in the sauce. We used to fuss when the landlord dissed us. No heat, wonder why Christmas missed us. Birthdays was the worst days. Now we sip champagne when we thirsty. Damn right I like the life I live. Cause I went from negative to positive and it's all. And if you don't know, now you know, nigga. And if you don't know, now you know, nigga. And if you don't know, now you know, nigga. Representing B-Town in the house. Junior Mafia, Mass Label.